Couple of great geeks, Dave and Anna, the geekiest people you'll ever meet, on 92.5 KYHY, Geek World, Thursdays at noon.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero superhosts, Anime, Mistress of the Dork, and the man that never stops talking, Dave. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send an email to geekworld@925kyhy.com and check out our website at geekworldradio.com. So, Dave.
What's going on?
Are you excited talking about all these friendly aliens?
I am very excited, honestly. You know, this was a fun topic to do this week because there is a plethora and a very different friendly alien movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of the conquering alien movies, they're very much the same overall, if you really think about it.
Yeah, I mean, the basic premise is aliens are trying to conquer us and we have to stop them.
Exactly.
I mean, that's pretty much it.
But sometimes
it's like, you know, only one guy knows about it, and sometimes it's a whole lot of people know about it.
It's usually
like,
just Jeff Goldblum knows about it first, And I gotta say, there's a lot of, you know, Jeff Goldblum, you know, he's the guy. I mean, he's the guy, he's either a monster or he fights monsters.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
He fights dinosaurs.
He fights
aliens.
Exactly. He is an alien. He is a half man, half fly. I mean, you know,
it's crazy.
It's totally nuts. Yes. But I mean, there we got actually quite a few of these movies to talk about. So which one do you want to talk about first?
Let's go with E.T.
Let's do E.T. I mean, E.T. is the big one that everyone really thinks of. You know, I think that for me, the beginning of, you know, other than obviously Superman, really one of the first movies to have, you know, these friendly aliens is like The Day the Earth Stood Still from 1951 that had, like, you know, Klaatu.
He wasn't an evil alien. He wasn't here to conquer us. You know, the point was to kind of check on humanity and see if they would be a risk to the rest of the, you know, intergalactic community.
Exactly. And, you know, he spent most of his time hanging out with a little boy.
Yeah.
Which, you know, isn't creepy.
You know, at the time, it wasn't.
Like,
you know, when people weren't afraid to just leave their kids with some guy that just moved
random,
into their house.
Middle-aged man. Yes. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yes. What are you going to do? You know, it was the 50s. Old people keep on telling us it was a better time.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's true or not.
It was a stranger time.
Yes, it was a very strange time, yes.
I guess knowing the things that go on makes people more scared and everything.
I agree.
But, like, you know, still, you have to be protective of your children.
Yes. There were still murderers and child molesters in the 50s, whether or not people want to believe that or not. And also, there was also in 1977 Close Encounters of the Third Kind, also had friendly aliens, too. Which was also Steven Spielberg. But really, I think, you know, kind of the big friendly alien movie that a lot of people, especially people in our age, you know, kind of grabbed onto and think of the most is, of course, E.T.
Yes.
from 1982. I mean, this was one of those movies that really showcased, you know, that you could make a movie for kids and adults and make a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
This movie was really, really successful and very, very good. Basically, you know, I hadn't seen this movie in a long time, and I really wanted to watch it again, and I'm really glad that I did. First off, you know, all the magical stuff is obviously there and stuff. But, you know, one of the funny things that I noticed about this movie, you know, other than the fact of all the, you know, really great product placement, which, by the way, was also in Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yes.
Remember when we watched that and we couldn't believe how much product? There was a Coke in, like, every scene of that movie.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah. But also, Elliot also asks E.T. if he wants a Coke.
Yeah.
You know, when he has them and everything. But, you know, I just like the fact that the reason E.T., you know, got kind of stranded there in the first place is he was just kind of messing around. You know, all his other aliens were sort of together and stuff.
He's playing with plants. He's looking at bunnies. He's checking out the city.
Exactly. It's like, man, if he had only had a little more discipline, something would have happened.
His family and stuff all glows, and they're like, oh, we should get back on the ship. And E.T.'s all like, ooh, bunny.
Ba-da-da-da-da. Yeah, pretty much. He's like Goldilocks. He's just running around not knowing what's going on. It's like, irresponsible child alien. But, you know, one of the things, though, that is really funny to me now watching it that I never really picked up on as a kid is, like, all of the... just all of the Star Wars references.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg had been working together for a long time. They all came up in the same group of guys. And so, of course, you know, he had the right to, he was obviously given the rights to mention all of these names.
Yeah.
But he was like, you know, Elliot was showing him all his toys. He showed him his, like, Lando Calrissian, a Boba Fett toy. His brother was doing a Yoda impression.
And granted, you know, there's other alien references too, like his brother was wearing a Space Invader shirt.
Yes.
You know? But
really,
there was a lot.
He even had a like a little like TIE fighter like toy in it, like in the background in his room. But really, like one of the funniest parts was, of course, you know, first off, E.T. might be, even though E.T.'s really ugly, he might also be like the cutest alien ever.
He is the cutest ugly ever.
Yeah, because even though he's ugly, like all the sounds and the movements and everything he does is just freaking adorable.
Yeah.
But this scene,
and those big eyes, like, just they look at you and it's like, oh, you're so cute, even if you're ugly.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, really, the thing is, you know, when they dressed him up, you know, like a ghost for Halloween,
yeah,
and made it seem like it was their sister, you know, basically, he was walking and he sees someone dresses E.T. I'm not E.T., he is E.T. Yeah. Saw someone dresses Yoda, and saw him and he goes, home, and starts, like, walking towards Yoda. So I was like, wow. It's like something that I didn't really, you know, pick up as a kid, so I didn't really think about.
Yeah, well, that is something that you wouldn't have picked up on as a kid, and even nowadays, kids probably still wouldn't, like, really, really pick up on it, just because, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's something that you notice now that you think about that kind of thing.
Totally, totally. Yeah, but I really, I love the fact, you know, I just love everything about this movie. First off, I think, you know, we were already talking about earlier on about how we liked the puppet E.T. better than the CG E.T.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, one of the cool things, though, and I think that, you know, Spielberg had to kind of shoot around, you know, the puppet, and I think that's part of what made that movie so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind of had that, you know, his sort of, like, what he did with Jaws, with the whole sort of, you know, you don't always see everything.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of, you know, it's some, the whole adage of sometimes what you don't see really does work.
Yeah, I mean, the wonder that it brings, the things that you can't see, it, I don't know, it just, it works really well.
Yeah, it works fantastic. And, yeah, and I mean, this is just great. I mean, E.T. has a ton of powers, too. I forgot all the powers he had in this. He has, like, telekinesis, and he has, like, he can resurrect dead things, and he heals people, and he can learn English really quickly, and he can fly, he can build communication devices.
I mean, he's from a smart race of aliens
that
you know, travel intergalactically.
Yes,
so.
But it's like, it's kind of cool because a lot of the aliens don't do that much.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these we found, you know, they're just sort of like, you know, not so great.
Yeah.
Like the movie we'll talk about next.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great alien. But really, you know, obviously.
He sucks.
You know, this is E.T. We're not talking about E.T.
No, not E.T. The Mac.
Anything more iconic than the shot of them on the bike across the moon?
Well, I mean, it became the logo for, what is it, Amblin?
Amblin Entertainment. Yeah. That might be, I mean, if you did a list of iconic images from movies, that might be like the number one, mm-hmm, or like number two or three. I mean, honestly, it's like, that is such an iconic shot.
Yeah.
Of, like, well, film history.
It's so great. It's like everyone riding their bikes wanted that to be, like, them on their
bike.
It's
like every kid's dream, you know?
Yeah.
He could take flight with his bike. But, yeah, I just, you know, it's great. I mean, of all these movies,
they even did a play on that in Last Action Hero, where he's on that bike going
exactly
across the rooftop.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I'm sure, you know, there's been lots of, you know, homages over the years. And, yeah, and just, you know, I've seen this movie so long, I forgot all the kids took flight. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Like,
oh man.
Seriously,
yeah.
Like, I forgot so much about this movie, and it's just really great and really fun. But let's move on, because everyone's seen E.T. and they know how great E.T. is. Let's move on to a movie that I wouldn't call a ripoff of E.T. because that would be too generous. I would call it them trying to do E.T. and them failing so miserable that it is maybe the most watchable bad movie of all time.
Yeah. It's one of those that's so bad that while you're watching it, you're like, I have to keep going. I can't stop watching this.
I mean, it's worse than, like, those sci-fi, like, you know, Saturday movies that they do.
Yeah.
I mean, it is
truly
atrocious.
Well, the best thing is, unlike those sci-fi movies, this movie was really trying.
Yes.
It really thought
they
that
thought
it was...
They thought they were doing E.T.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, first off, the aliens in Mac and Me, which is
Mac
the movie we're talking about,
yes,
are so ugly. They're not a cute ugly. They are
they're
a disgusting,
hideous,
gross...
Yes.
Make you vomit in your mouth a little ugly.
I would have to say, the way they look to me is they look like drunk, naked, inbred hillbillies. That's pretty much what
they look like. You know, if you've ever seen The Hills Have Eyes or whatever, that's more or less what they look like.
Exactly, yeah. They do sort of look like mutants.
Naked and gross.
Yeah.
And wrinkly.
And the way they move and stuff and wobble around, yeah, they're like nightmare creatures. I mean,
oh my God.
It's horrible.
It's horrifying.
Yeah, there's nothing cute about them whatsoever. They even tried to give Mac, like, the big eyes. It didn't work.
Yeah. Now, let's see the ways that this is like E.T. Well, it's a single mom.
Yes, single mom.
Now, instead of having a older brother, the main kid, and then the younger sister, they did an older brother, the main kid in a wheelchair,
yes,
and then a little friend.
Yes.
And her sister.
Yes.
So that was their replacement of
now,
it.
They had, you know, instead of the kids on the bikes, they had the kid in the wheelchair, too.
Yeah, that's true.
And, of course, they were in California. So you got to remember that.
Yeah.
And calamity ensues with, them trying to keep E.T. a secret from everybody. Mac a secret from everybody. Yeah.
Now,
Mac stands for mysterious alien creature, by the way.
Wow.
We need to know this.
Dumb.
No, it's brilliant.
Let me first, I want to talk about the best part of this.
Yes, the most, now this should actually go down a little ahead of the E.T. moon, the E.T. bike riding past the moon. God. This scene from Mac and Me actually is better than that. It is,
it's so good.
This should be the most iconic moment of film history.
So the kid in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
First off, his mom was so irresponsible as to get a house that's on a cliff.
They're in like the hills somewhere, in L.A.
So the kid is on a wheelchair, looking over the cliff.
Not only they're in a hill, but there's like a little walkway that you go past, like down the hill. Yeah.
And he's going down and he hears some noises, trying to find a little creature that's been, like, you know, terrorizing him, essentially.
Yeah.
And he's following and he's following, and all of a sudden, he loses control of his wheelchair.
Yes, and the brakes break off. Yeah. Yeah.
And you think, oh my god, it's gonna be like E.T. E.T.'s gonna save him. No. All of a sudden, wheelchair goes flying down the hill, off the cliff, and the wheelchair and the kid go into the water. It is
the most funny scene of all time. Because you're like, oh my god, he's dead! I mean, it goes off like a huge cliff.
I mean, ever since seeing this, I just think back to it every once in a while and laugh. I mean, the thing is, it's the most horrible thing they could have done, because really, this would have killed the kid. But no, it didn't kill him. He's fine. The alien pulls him out of the water and then goes hiding. But yeah, it is the most, like, this is essentially one of the ways that the movie starts. This is in like the first 15
minutes
of the movie. And this is the point where you go, I can't stop watching this movie.
Oh my god. And it makes the movie worth watching.
Yeah.
I have to say, there's a lot of bad movies we talk about. We say don't watch this. You need to see Mac and Me at least once.
I think what E.T. was really missing was a wheelchair kid going off a cliff.
They're like, how can we improve on E.T.? I know. Let's have a wheelchair kid fly off a cliff, and everyone thinks he's going to be dead. But no, he falls in water, and he's okay.
And then the poor kid. This poor kid who's the brake broke off of his wheelchair. He didn't purposely go off a cliff. But all of a sudden, now everyone thinks that he's crazy and trying to commit suicide.
They think he's a suicidal
therapist. Oh my god. It's... Oh, like E.T. doesn't ruin the kid's life.
No.
E.T., makes some wacky things happen.
He makes the kid's life better.
Makes the kid drunk in class and, like, save the frogs and stuff, and then he gets to kiss the girl.
Yes.
But he doesn't make the kid's life worse. This alien, Mac, screws up wheelchair kid's life.
Yes.
He messes things up, and everyone thinks that it's the kid, and no one will believe the kid, and the one girl that knows what's going on won't tell anyone. Like, she's not going to tell anyone the truth, because then everyone thinks she's crazy too.
Yeah.
She's smart enough not to tell.
It's so true. Really, it is a movie about an alien who messes up a wheelchair kid's life.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%.
He comes in and he seriously he ruins the living room, the new living room. He brings the outside indoors. By the way, I kind of like how he redecorated.
Yeah, it really good. Yes.
Except for all the, like, you
it's
know,
earthy.
Yeah, except for the sawing things off and, like,
and saw a hole in the door.
But the worst part is that there's certain things that the kid totally wouldn't have been able to, like, reach and stuff, and yet everyone still thinks that it must be the wheelchair kid that did it. I mean, wow, irresponsible mom, like, just blaming wheelchair kid for everything.
It's so funny. It's like everyone thinks he's an insane vandal who tried to commit suicide. Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, it's like, there's none of this, like, we are connected.
No.
I love you. I will heal you. It's like, I'm gonna mess up your life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's truly awesome. It's like that.
How'd you like flying off that cliff? We'll take this messed up house.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just so, it really is so bad, it's good. I mean,
but once you see that scene of him flying off the cliff,
oh god,
you You will be laughing for the next week.
Apparently, there was a head in the trivia for Mac and Me that Paul Rudd, when he used to go on the Conan O'Brien show, when he would like bring a clip for like his next movie, sometimes he would bring in that clip
for
Mac and Me.
Just that clip, and that's what he would play. Yeah. That's like genius.
It is one of the truly funniest moments of movie history.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's unreal. And, you know,
they you know what the tagline on the box says?
What?
Out of this world and into your heart.
No!
That's a lie.
No, it is not into your
heart. That's a lie, Mac and Me.
He messes with you. It's in your head.
Yeah.
He messes with you. Yeah, you know, first off, like, the whole movie starts where there's these aliens, like, chilling out on their desert planet, and, like, one of those, like, you know, unmanned rovers comes down and literally vacuums up the family.
Because they're all stretchy and they can be vacuumed up. Yeah. And their mouths are, like, little holes. So they carry straws with them.
Yes. And they basically put their straw in the earth and they drink out the earth's essence.
But you know what's better than earth juice? Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
This movie was so sponsored by Coke and McDonald's. I mean, there was a scene that was like a bunch of kids dancing around at McDonald's.
Yes, there's hardly a frame going on. Yeah. That McDonald's birthday party was the greatest thing ever because there was a dance battle at McDonald's.
Yeah.
I mean, it was awesome. It was so cool. It was also really funny. I noticed like one of the little girls, because this movie came out in 1988, one of the little girls in the dance battle was Nikki Cox from Las Vegas or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, even weirder than that, you know, in E.T., the girl that he kisses, isn't that like Erica
Laniak? Yeah.
Who, of course, after that became most famous for jumping out of a cake in Under Siege.
Yeah, you know.
So, you know, there you go. By the way, Under Siege rocks.
Whoa. Wow, it rocked that
Wait
much.
A second.
You can't ever do it.
No,
again.
I just you do it once and it's awesome. Yeah. I mean, Mac and Me, that McDonald's, that whole McDonald's scene was just, it was brilliant. You know, you get Ronald McDonald, the real Ronald McDonald, you get a dance battle, and then of course, you know, Mac has to be like incognito. And so they put him in a teddy bear suit.
Yeah.
And so he dances like, he just dances up there where the register is. Yeah.
And then they go, like, no one will suspect anything. They'll just think it's a toy.
Yeah. It's completely, I mean, it's sort of so insane and so mad, it might just be brilliant.
It is brilliant.
You know, I love, you know, there's an epic chase scene where the government guys are chasing the wheelchair kid, and, like, they're going on to, like, oncoming traffic or something. I thought I was watching, like, To Live and Die in L.A. or something.
It was amazing. I like the scene with Mac in the little four-wheeler, and the dogs, they were drifting.
The dogs were drifting!
The dogs chasing him, and the dogs were drifting. It was awesome!
Because he wanted to join the race.
Yeah. And then he ended up in a tree.
Oh, man. It's so funny. Yeah. If you ever want a night of hilarity, like first watch E.T. followed directly by Mac and Me. Like, you have to see this movie. It's so bad.
And I would recommend watching the scene where he flies off the cliff and then rewatching it. And then rewatching it.
Yeah.
You'll be replaying it in your mind all over and over again anyway.
Oh.
Like, lately I've just been bursting out in laughter.
I know.
It just comes to mind.
It's in your head, isn't it? You can't get it out.
Like, I mean, seriously, what made them think that was okay? Like wheelchair kid goes flying off a cliff, a gigantic cliff into, like, these rocky waters.
Yeah.
No way he would survive or stay on the
I have to say,
wheelchair.
The only thing, what must have compelled them was just genius.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a stroke of genius.
And then nobody noticed that the brake on his wheelchair had been, like, broken off.
Yeah, it's,
I mean, how did his wheelchair survive that, by the way?
This movie's so bad. I don't know. It's a moment.
His life gets messed up and messed up and messed up.
Yeah. Mac and Me is one of those movies that, you know, it's really bad. It's really, 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 really bad. But, you know, you got to see it at least once. It's like one of those, like, internet videos you see that, like, you're glad you saw it, even though, like, it was a little rough, you know, like Star Wars Kids or Chocolate Rain or something. You have to see it, you know, at least once. And, yeah, it's pretty epic.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Yes.
Mac and Me.
We might burst out of laughter randomly thinking about that. It's too much. Oh, God. So what are we talking about next?
If we burst out in laughter, you know, just you know exactly what it is now.
What should we talk about next?
Let's go on to Starman.
Starman! Oh, I love this movie! Yeah! Starman, you know, this is one of those movies I actually remember really loving as a kid. This one is actually very different from E.T. It came out, it came out 2 years after E.T. Mm-hmm. in 1984, and it stars Jeff Bridges as a Starman.
Mm-hmm. And Karen Allen.
Karen Allen, yes.
As the woman who loves the Starman.
Yes! How could you not love love the Starman. Yeah, you know, this movie, you know, it's funny because I have better memories of Starman than I did of E.T.
Yeah.
I think I just saw it a lot as a kid. I think we watched it a lot at my house, and I really loved it. Actually, I have a little bit of trivia here that I just thought was really, really interesting that I want to find. So, okay, check this out. This is basically Columbia at the time. It had two scripts about alien visitation, and they had to decide what to do. And it was between E.T. or Starman, and they went with Starman instead and lost, and E.T. got sent to another studio. Hmm. I think maybe E.T. made a few more bucks than Starman.
Yeah.
Maybe a few more. But you know
but
what?
They're totally different kinds of movies.
Yeah, and
you
also,
know,
I really think E.T. was one of those moments where studios really realized to sell movies to kids.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing
is,
Starman is for adults. It's for families and adults.
Yeah, it's not a kid's movie.
No.
E.T. is for your family. Starman is for adults.
I mean, E.T.'s Starman is, like, kind of tragic. It's about a widow. It's about this widow who basically, you know, is like, you know, becoming an alcoholic, torturing herself over the death of her husband, who, you know, all of a sudden, you know, has a close encounter.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, I think it's really...
You know, she should have been ready for those aliens in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah, I have to agree. That's a good point. She shouldn't have been surprised.
It's
exactly.
Like,
jeez.
An alien put a baby inside you.
I love that, by the way. In Indiana Jones, I love there were aliens.
I love that you have some book from like some.
Yeah.
Some,
I don't have it. My sister has.
Okay,
it. I
your
try to
sister
steal
has
from
some
her.
Book that
yeah,
like you know essentially
it.
Shows that kind of thing. It shows a lot of the things from the Indiana Jones movies as these actual things that exist.
I think George Lucas has that book because huge boulder that like chased him in Raiders of the Lost Ark and all that stuff. Yeah, totally. But you know, I think Starman was really great. First off, you know, Jeff Bridges was fantastic in it. He actually got nominated for an Academy Award for this role.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Basically, he, you know, one of the reasons that they come here is basically Voyager 2 gets sent out with a message saying, hey, aliens, you know, contact us.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, of course, he gets shot off onto Earth, and he shows up as like an orb, and he ends up finding pictures of this guy who's dead and a little bit of hair, and from there, he like clones himself and becomes basically, you know, makes himself a vessel for his alien self. That whole effect of the baby being like, you know, morphed into Jeff Bridges was crazy.
It was really crazy.
Yeah, it was really creepy, but really, really crazy. I mean, it was both Stan Winston and Rick Baker who worked on that transformation. Two heavy hitters in special effects. Because, yeah, I mean, at the time, it was like crazy. I mean, the special effects were amazing. You know, one of the really interesting things that I realized about this is, you know, the whole thing about Starman is, you know, he has intelligence, obviously, but he has to, you know, basically learn the language.
Mm-hmm.
He has to figure out how to talk, and he says a lot of weird stuff that you don't really understand at first. And I realized that probably the reason I really liked John from Cincinnati a few years ago, that show that, you know, was on and then quickly went off on HBO, it's because it's freaking Starman.
Yeah, really, like,
it's the same
watching,
show.
Watching
same
Starman now, like, you really see that they were going for pretty much that.
Yeah, I mean, they just watched Starman. They're like, how can we update this for today?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same freaking idea.
Unfortunately, they didn't realize that you can't stretch Starman out beyond, like, a few hours.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, I just love this movie. I love the fact that he has badass ball bearings.
Yes.
And all his ball bearings do, like, different cool stuff. You know, like, they can melt, like, tire irons.
Didn't Amflux use ball bearings?
Yeah, they were.
See, ball bearings are cool.
Ball bearings are cool. You know, I Am Number 4 is ball bearings, too. Evil ball bearings.
Mm.
Do you remember that?
Evil, like, grindy,
yes, like
saw
ball. Yeah, it's like Jigsaw's ball bearing or something. Exactly. You know, also I thought one of the amazing things is that the guy who plays Bo Crowder in Justified was one of the cops.
Oh my god. Seeing all these people in all these older movies that we've been seeing lately, like when they're young.
And they always play cops. Like David Guest played a cop in Death Wish.
Except when they're playing criminals.
Yes, exactly.
So either cops or criminals.
Exactly. And also, though he always plays a cop, David Carradine, of course, was a deputy and in First Blood.
David Carradine?
Caruso. Not David Carradine.
Yeah.
David Caruso, Anna. Get it right.
Yeah.
You think I can sell it? No.
No.
I think people
you can't
solve
it to that.
Okay. But, you know, I also think that, you know, really, this was one of the first places where we realized that, in fact, Earth girls are easy.
That's true.
And I think maybe my favorite line from any alien movie is, I put a baby inside you. That's kind of awesome. Way to go, Starman. Way to go. But yeah, I mean, it's a great movie. I love the way the ship looks. I like how it's like this big reflective sphere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that, you know, the whole thing is really like, you know, humans are dicks.
Yeah.
And they're going to try to dissect an alien if it comes here.
Yeah, it's like, I gotta say, you know, on the Voyager, you know, the whole thing is that, like, was, like, up on Voyager or whatever.
Voyager
that they,
2, yeah.
That they put up, you know, the...
Like a big record of,
yeah,
like,
and it said,
and
you know, come and visit us. So, like, if they still have something like that up there, I really hope that it says, come and visit us, but if you do, we're gonna try and dissect
it. Exactly.
Like, I mean, seriously, like I think there's enough to show that we're gonna try and shoot down anything that's coming to this planet. So, like, there should be some sort of warning up there.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that one.
You know, I insist to you, government, please put a warning up, because I don't want to hear about, like, you guys shooting down some alien ships starting an intergalactic war.
Yeah, I know. I mean, come on. You know, can't we have a nice first contact moment like the Vulcans? Yeah.
Can't we all just get along with our alien brethren?
And I think the main thing about Starman is he learns how to drive, because, of course, you know, red means stop, green means go, and yellow means drive very fast.
Yeah, well, I mean, so. I think that's a good lesson for all of us
to know.
Yeah, I mean... Starman rules.
Starman does rule.
Starman drives.
So are we going to move on, or what do we got going on now?
I think that it is time for us to take another quick break.
Oh, another break.
And,
okay.
Yeah, and we come back. We've got some more of the movies that we watched, and maybe we'll get to some of our alien fights that we're going to talk about. And later on in the show, we've got our review of I Am Number 4, and we're going to talk about the new Wonder Woman show that's going to be coming out. So so stay tuned with us. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send an email to geekworld@925kyhy.com, and check out our website at geekworldradio.com. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
Listen to Geek World or die. Geek World Radio on Thumpin' Thursdays and Free Play Fridays at 12 o'clock. 12 a.m. or p.m., you ask? Well, both, actually.
You are worth it.
Geek World Radio, 12 midnight and 12 noon, Thursday and Friday.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero super hosts, anime, mistress of the dork, and the man that never stops talking, Dave. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to geekworld@925kyhy.com and check out our website at geekworldradio.com. And we've been talking about friendly aliens, and Dave, are you eating cats?
I am not eating cats. I was eating my peach. You know, I gotta say, do you remember that crazy story in, like, Latvia of that guy getting shot in Black Swan?
Black Swan makes you crazy.
Over a freaking dispute over popcorn? Like, seriously? Like, some guy, like, complained some dude ate his popcorn too loud, and so at the end of the movie, the guy, you know, said loud popcorn eater, shot the other guy to death after watching Black Swan.
You know, I mean, the fact is, you know what that shows? A, people are crazy, and B, why are you allowing guns into movie theaters?
Seriously!
Who needs their gun in a movie theater? Who? Seriously.
Well, the worst part is the guy was like a police academy like graduate or something like that. Like, honestly,
wait, which one? The one that
the
did,
one
did the
shot
shooting?
Him? Yeah.
Wow. I don't want their police. Like,
I don't
want
to go.
Are there no like mental checks? Like, did
Seriously.
You not have to pass a like psychological exam or anything?
Seriously, you know, I don't get it too, because you know I actually feel really lucky, because when I went to I Am Number 4, I was like one of those really annoying people who brought like an apple in, and you know, instead of like getting like popcorn or whatever, I was eating an apple. I was really worried. I was trying to be as quiet as possible during it. Yeah. And like, honestly, like, you know, I could have got shot.
Well, you know, I don't think you would have, because the people behind us were eating sandwiches that were wrapped in the loudest wrapping ever.
It's annoying.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I mean, like, you know, most people with their candy are pretty loud too.
You're lucky we didn't have a gun. Yeah. So that's very sad, isn't it though?
It's like,
it's messed up, isn't
weird.
It?
Weird.
No, no.
Like, I mean,
it's Black Swan. I blame Black Swan 100%.
I blame the fact that people are scary and freaky and, you know.
Yeah, I blame Natalie Portman's performance.
People with psychological problems maybe shouldn't be given guns.
I think Natalie Portman gives such a great performance as turning into a homicidal maniac that it actually turned people into a homicidal maniac.
I guess that's possible.
Yeah, it's very possible. She's probably going to win the Oscar, don't you think?
I think it's likely.
Yes, I think by our next show, the Oscars will have aired, and I'll be very surprised if she does not win. But anyway, we're not talking about any of that craziness. We're talking about friendly alien movies.
Friendly aliens.
So what are we on to next, anime?
We are on to Dollman.
Dollman! Oh my god.
Dollman.
I don't even know, like, I don't know.
I don't know how we ended up watching this.
I don't know how we watched this. I don't know
why. I don't know how we made it through
idea.
This.
You hardly did. You were, like, falling asleep by the
it
end.
Was so
it was
bad.
It was difficult.
I I was like, it's got Jackie Earle Haley. How bad could it be? Yeah. I was wrong.
You never say how bad can it be, because it could always be worse than the
it
worst.
It sounded entertaining, but I also thought that Jackie Earle Haley was going to be Doll Man.
Yeah, me too. Yes.
I didn't expect Tim Thomerson.
Tim freaking Thomerson. This guy is the cheesiest actor of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Doll Man is like, don't see this. It's horrible. It'll make you, I mean, it's like worse than a trauma movie. It'll make you want to cry and puke and kill yourself. And honestly, it'll make you want to go off a cliff in a wheelchair. it's horrible. I mean, honestly, I was really kind of, I was ashamed to have watched this movie. I had to take a shower afterwards. Basically, you know, Doll Man is some like, you know, intergalactic Dirty Harry wannabe who basically chases an evil head across the across space,
yep,
and ends up crashing on Earth. But the whole caveat is, you know, once he shows up on Earth, you know, he's only 10 inches tall. And so, you know, he is literally Doll Man.
Yeah.
And he basically lands in, the Bronx?
Yep.
And helps a local girl clean up the streets.
Now, I mean, you know, the premise of this is similar to Suburban Commando.
Yes,
so.
Yes, it is. Yes, which is a far better movie, and I wish we had watched Suburban Commando instead of Doll Man.
Yeah.
And you know, the worst part was, you know, it's like, how could they clean up the streets from like these evil thugs played by Jackie Earle Haley, who, by the way, does not look any different then that he does right now.
No,
it's kind of amazing.
He has never aged.
Yes, kind of interesting. Yeah, I mean, this movie, like, it actually gives me stomach aches thinking about it, because everything was gross about it. It was in that period of time in the late 80s, early 90s, where all the low budget movies were really gross.
Yeah.
So, like, all the effects were gross, the way it looked was gross, the people themselves looked gross, the clothes were gross, everything was gross. I mean, yeah. Really, pretty much nothing in that movie was nice to look at.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a horror show. And honestly, like, I could not recommend this to my worst enemy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this would be good as a torture device. You know, I think actually Nikita would have talked had they used this in torturing her at Division, because yeah, it's horrible. Yeah, I mean,
that would have done more than hurt her feelings.
Yeah, it really, really done more. It would have crushed her soul. I actually had to take soul pills after this. I had to get on the soul train, because honestly, I was just, it was over for me.
In Japan, they called it microcop.
Yeah, they might like it in Japan. It's a little crazy, but yeah, I honestly
I think they have better taste than that.
Yes they do. Yeah, I just, oh man, please don't watch this. This is insidious.
It's another one of those where it's like, you know, it's one of those ones where aliens just, his planet happens to pretty much be Earth, except like,
yeah,
creepier and yeah, smaller.
Yeah.
It's just dumb.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't even know what to say about it. I didn't even take any notes on it, because
there were no notes to take.
End it all.
Yeah.
Like, I really did. Like, I knew I would just be in a bad mood if I talked too much about this movie. Like, it's just, it's funny, because it doesn't even go, you know, this is actually a great example of, just because something's a bad movie doesn't mean it's so bad it's good, people. There's a big difference. Mac and Me is so bad it's good because you laugh because it's insanely stupid.
Yes.
And also, it is such an obviously horrible ripoff of E.T. with even more product placement.
Yeah.
This movie, however, is so bad it should be sent to hell where it came from. It's just not good at all. It has no redeeming value. It makes you kind of want to puke because it's so gross.
Yep.
And, you know, even if you like Jackie Earle Haley, there's a lot of things you can see Jackie Earle Haley in that are much better than this movie.
And we recommend that that's what you see,
yeah,
instead of
Tim Thomerson is, like, the cheesiest actor of all time. And
yeah,
it's really horrible when they try to make him an action star. And, you know, I can never blame an actor for doing a part. You know, it's hard to be an actor and make money. So I can't fault him for that. But just don't see Doll Man.
No, don't,
like,
see Doll
really
Man.
Whatever you were planning on it anyway, because it looks ridiculous, but, like, take it from us. It is not so bad as good. It's so bad that you might want to end it all.
I mean, I can't believe that Jackie Earle Haley wasn't Doll Man.
I know, right? He's already a tiny guy to begin with.
I mean, was that the irony, that he's tiny to begin with, and
I
then
think
Doll
so.
Man is even tinier?
Yes, it was irony. Yeah, they were going for a lot of irony there, and a lot of
I don't think they were trying.
They were going
for
a lot of metaphor.
There was no trying.
Yeah, no, there was a ton of, I mean, really.
Let's forget about Doll Man and move on.
Film. Now I think about it.
Let's talk about The Abyss.
Let's do it.
Bye bye, Doll Man. Forever.
Now, The Abyss is, you know, a really, really, really good movie. Like I said before, this is one of those few movies that I had not seen that James Cameron did. It came out in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
First off, the effects are unbelievable for 1989.
Yeah.
But basically, it's about a, it starts off with this whole submarine that basically something zips past it really quick and messes up their electronics, and so they crash and burn. burn if you can burn underwater. And so basically,
they burned on the inside.
Yes, exactly. And so basically, the government sent a ragtag group of underwater drillers to go and search for the wreckage. First off, Michael Bay, shame on you.
Yeah.
Because it's very clear where they got the idea for the crew in Armageddon.
Yeah.
From when you watch this movie, you're like, oh my God, this is the crew from Armageddon.
It's the abyss on an asteroid.
Yeah, really. Armageddon is exactly, it's exactly what you just said. It is literally the abyss on an asteroid. Is it underwater? It's kind of bad. It's really ridiculous. But basically, you know, they get, you know, Ed Harris is the main guy, and he and his ex-wife, Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, they go and they, you know, they go to find out what's going on. And, of course, though, you know, the running theme of a lot of Cameron movies, you know, everything from Aliens to of course, The Abyss and later on in Avatar, is that the military screws everything up.
Yeah.
You know, and they're the real monsters.
Yeah, and the military will never listen to scientists, even though, like, you know, the scientists actually know what's going on. And
the military is all about might makes right, and they don't really think about things before they do it. They just, you know, try to blow stuff up if they're scared of it.
Yeah, yeah. They would rather start an intergalactic war than...
Then actually
listen
to
some scientists.
Exactly. And so, you know, of course, a bunch of Navy SEALs get sent. And the main Navy SEAL, who of course turns wackadoodle, is possibly the greatest B action movie star of all time, Michael Biehn.
Yeah.
Who, you know, has been in a lot of A movies too, but is also, you know, I mean, he was a star of Navy SEALs. You can't go wrong. Of course, he played Kyle Reese in Terminator. And
that's not a B movie.
I know, that is an awesome, awesome movie. I mean, Michael Biehn rules. I mean, Michael Biehn is so awesome. He's just, he's that guy, you know? He always plays a Navy SEAL for the most part, too. Like, for instance, he was in The Rock, which I would say was Michael Bay's best movie, along with the first Transformers, and he was a Navy SEAL in that, remember?
Hmm.
Yeah, he led that Navy SEALs team that got killed in, like, the beginning of The Rock.
Yeah.
And so basically, but, you know, Michael Biehn very rarely played evil. He was usually heroes. That's why they gave him an awesome, like, mustache. They gave him a big 70s porn
stash. Yeah, it's the crazy stash.
Yes, exactly. And you know, it's sort of like the old, you know, those movies where they do, like, you know, the guys from the Civil War that end up, like, cannibalizing, you know, their whole team.
Yes.
Like, that's that kind of mustache.
Right, because you know that the blood is going to get in the mustache.
Exactly.
And stay there,
you know, like,
right?
The blood and the grizzle from the, you know, from the human, so you know it's a, I, you know, it's definitely you know, frontiersman cannibal stash.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the best way to put it. But basically, you know, I think the thing is we watched the director's cut of it because I've heard that it's a vast difference between the theatrical and director's cut.
Yes,
and I would have to say the main thing we said about it is it's very, very long. Now the thing is, it's a really good movie.
Yeah, it's worth sitting through the like 12 hours of it, yes, or whatever it is.
It's just don't drink a lot of coffee you can't pause it.
Yeah.
Because, I remember, you know, you remember in the movie where you have to pee, but you figure the movie's going to end soon? Because, you know, you get to points you figure is near the end of the movie. Yeah, this movie just kept on going.
Yeah.
Like, I had to pause it after a while, you know, because I was like, okay, this is not going to end. Because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happened. It's like Avatar. You know, like we were saying before, really, this is the missing big puzzle piece of kind of where everything led up to Avatar, because there's so many epic moments and there's so many storylines. I mean, really, there's like two main storylines that are running through this movie, and so, you know, it's long, but there's nothing extra in it. That's what's great about it.
Yeah, and getting back to what we're talking about on the show is friendly aliens.
Yes.
So, you know, it the whole thing is that it's kind of like the day the Earth stood still, where these aliens are kind of like, you know, keeping an eye on us and seeing, you know, like as how humanity is doing. They're watching our TV. They're seeing what's going on the world, and they're not exactly happy with the way that humans treat each other, the way that we create war and stuff. So they're ready to take us all out because they can control water.
Yeah, I mean, this was back in 1989, so this is when still the end of the Cold War, but right before, you know, the wall came down when this came out. So, you know, it was very apparent this time that, you know, the world was at the brink of the third World War. And yeah, you're right. It's very much like the day the Earth stood still. And yeah, I just, you know, I can't, I just, the way the aliens looked were so great. You know, you get a lot of alien movies where the aliens look very humanoid. You know, you even get that in like Star Trek, you know, which, you know, it's difficult to make non-humanoid looking aliens sometimes, especially when you have budget, you know, restraints. But the aliens in this looked awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in their alien ships, it kind of looked like these cool kind of like lit up like jellyfish almost.
Yeah, I really liked them. I really liked the look of them. I liked how different they were, and I liked how, like you said, they're like jellyfish, which makes sense for a creature that would live in an environment that's like underwater, that's like in our sea's depths. And I mean, and I also like the fact that because, you know, we've only really been to a certain depth in the ocean, there's so many parts of the ocean that are just too dark for us to see too far down. And so, you know, there are these places where who knows what could be there? Who knows what aliens might be lurking
down
there?
This is really a combination of James Cameron's two favorite things, water and aliens.
Yeah.
I mean, and also it's really cool too to watch kind of the precursor of the liquid metal from T2.
Yes.
With the whole thing with the water came out and it changed into faces of people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and that was what, 3 years before T2 came out. So they really kind of perfected that stuff. You know what's funny? He shot that scene first so the CGI people could have the most amount of time to create that.
That's crazy.
Effect.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, it's cool.
Good thinking.
Yeah, I mean, James Cameron's just awesome. I mean, he is James Cameron. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if nothing else, if you haven't seen this movie, you should really check it out because it's very good and it's very awesome. And man, those tsunamis were just like the coolest thing ever too. The tsunamis, like, those are scary. That's one of my, you know, that is like one of my, I think I'm going to die via a gigantic wave. I've always thought that.
It's a scary thing to think about.
Yeah, isn't that weird? It's kind of freaky. Anyway, let's move on.
Yes.
What are we talking about next?
Let's move on to Earth Girls Are Easy.
Oh, God. Earth Girls Are Easy. This movie is, I remember this as a kid. I really remember this movie, though. It's funny when you watch something back after you, when you were a kid, maybe it's just me, but you really realize you left a lot out.
You know what I like? I like that this isn't one of those movies where you went, this was one of my favorite movies as a kid.
Yes, yes. No,
I have not had good experiences with you doing that.
No, no, it's certainly true. You know, I got to say, though, all I remember about this movie is they were like these fuzzy different color aliens and they tried to mac it with Earth Girls. And yes,
but, you know,
that is a big part of it.
Yeah,
yeah, but there's a lot I don't remember. I find I leave out the parts that suck, and there was a lot of suck in this. Yeah, pretty much. Well, first off,
the first thing is that this is like pure comedy, and they're not trying to be serious at any point, and they're in a way they're making fun of a lot of stuff. In a way, they're. But yeah, all I can say is that it seems like way too many drugs went into the making of this movie.
I have to 100% agree with you. This was from the mind of Julie Brown. She wrote this movie.
Downtown Julie Brown.
No, she's not Downtown Julie Brown. She's Julie Brown. There's two Julie Browns in the 80s. One was Downtown Julie Brown.
So this
and then
is
there's
different.
Also, yes, I think this is just Julie Brown.
So wait, what's the difference?
They're two different people.
I don't accept that.
And I think Downtown Julie Brown was African-American, too.
Yeah, whatever.
As I recall from watching MTV back in the late 80s.
People with the same name.
Yes.
They should just change their names.
Yes. Yeah, they should just...
Oh, wait. I guess they did. One is Downtown.
Yes.
One is not.
Duh. But yeah.
How come every time that you would see her name, you would go Downtown Julie Brown?
Because it's more fun to say than Julie Brown.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, well, you kept confusing me because every time you would see her name, you would say that.
I used tactics of the ninja.
You did.
I used subversion, I totally messed with you.
You did. You really did. I don't appreciate that.
Well, just because Downtown Julie Brown is way more fun to say than Julie Brown. It's like, come on, think about it. It rhymes. It's all fun, and it's like you feel good when you say it, don't you? Say it again.
Downtown Julie Brown.
Isn't it fun? Downtown Julie Brown.
It's
come
true.
On. Everyone at home, say it.
We should just call her that because it's way more fun.
Yes, though I don't believe she's the same person. I believe there are two Julie Browns. But, you know.
So we can just slur it and go, downtown Julie Brown.
Exactly. You know, the first thing that occurred to me that I forgot about this movie is I watched it and go, is this movie a musical?
Yes, apparently
like,
it is.
There's like three musical numbers in this movie. You know, there isn't a whole lot of that. Movies that aren't really musicals but still have musical numbers like this. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's a bunch I'm not aware of. But
well, they're on the Disney Channel.
Yes, exactly. I was a little, though, disturbed, actually, by all this stuff.
Very strained musical numbers.
You know, the main girl, the main human, the main Earth girl that was Easy was Geena Davis. And she was pretty hot in this movie.
She's super hot.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she just is super hot.
And they had a whole scene where she was in, like, a bikini the entire time. It was totally awesome.
Yeah, I mean, there are scenes of her in a bikini and in lingerie.
I mean, that's why they were on Earth. Is like, the, is it, okay, first off, let me just say this, that this has got one of the greatest casts of all time.
I know.
And a lot of people, it was before they were famous. But basically, the aliens are played by Jeff Goldblum, Damon Wayans, and Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
And really, what I have to say is Jeff Goldblum, Damon Wayans, Jim Carrey are basically playing horny Thundercats.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
The Damon Wayans and Jim Carrey character, they were both looking through their big telescope, and they saw Geena Davis in the bikini, and they kept on fighting over who could look. And so that's how they caused the crash, and that's how they basically crashed down on Earth. Well, you know, Jeff Goldblum was in stasis, and he's their captain. And of course, you know, from there, their calamity and hilarity ensue, and Julie Brown takes them and shaves them, and they become real boys.
That's a good way to put it.
And also, I don't know the name of the actor, but the guy who played Gina Davis' fiance, Dr. Love there, he was totally the guy who was obsessed with Pat, and it's Pat.
That poor guy.
Yeah, yeah, nothing but horrible comedies, yeah. Yeah, what a time. You know, the close of 1989?
Wait, if he was Ted, his name is Charles Rocket.
It was 1988. Yeah, yeah, Charles Rocket.
That's
an
awesome name.
Yeah, his name's Charles Rocket.
How can someone with an awesome name, such an awesome name, like, you know, have to deal with things like it's Pat?
I don't know. It's pretty sad. But this movie came out in 1988, and it was just, it was something else. All I have to say, though, honestly, is, you know, you got served by an alien. There's a dance battle. Yes, there's a dance battle, and
that's another thing that we learned. Aliens love dance battles.
They do. And also, I gotta say, one of the positive things is they had Robbie the Robot from Lost in Space and Forbidden Planet, and also they had a duck phone.
Yeah,
just like the Jersey Shore. But other than that, this movie is it's fun to watch because of all the different people. But it is like kind of a trippy, drugged out nightmare sometimes.
Yeah.
So you know, watchers beware.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know what to say. I mean, like we said, it has Jeff Goldblum, Jim Carrey, Damon Wayans, Gina Davis, and Michael McKean.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like it's worth watching for the cast.
Yeah.
And
it's very kitschy.
Yeah.
But
it's an acquired taste.
It is, yes. But we found out, you know, as we have most of these movies, aliens love TV.
They do.
They really do. Yes. But let's move on.
Yes. Let's move on to Batteries Not Included.
Ah, yes.
This is one that I remember really enjoying in my childhood.
Too.
I also remember being like, you know, when I saw the commercial for it or for the first like preview I saw for it, I was like, well, of course the batteries aren't included. They're aliens.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what that meant. And I didn't get it.
You know, first thing about Batteries Not Included, what's really interesting...
I was a little Vulcan child, wasn't I?
Yeah, well, you still are. Well, you're not a child, but you're definitely a Vulcan. You know, this movie came out 2 years after another senior citizen alien movie called Cocoon.
Yes, which we'll be talking about after.
Which is really weird because basically two of the couples of senior citizens in Cocoon, Hume Crone and Jessica Tandy, were the old couple in Batteries Not Included.
Mm-hmm.
So they are officially the old couple of alien movies.
Oh, yeah. Alien movies.
So that works out. Oh, friendly alien movies. Yes, exactly. But yeah, basically, I didn't remember a lot of this movie, but basically it's about, you know, evil land developers who are trying to kick a bunch of people out of their apartment buildings so they can knock it down and build skyscrapers. And but then, you know, right when humanity was at its lowest, two friends from another world showed up to show them that sometimes batteries aren't included. It's pretty good, right?
Yeah, except I don't think that made sense.
No, it didn't make sense at all. I didn't really know what to say. I was just kind of going for it.
Good try, though.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But yeah, basically, it's about these fun two little machine saucer aliens that show up and fix stuff, basically.
That's pretty much what it is. They like to fix stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and basically, you know, they go and they help fight the bullies who are trying to kick them out.
Yeah, and the thing is that these old people, like, are not the old people and the other people in the building. You know, it's a bunch of people in a building that they don't know each other.
Yes.
They don't interact with each other. They stick to themselves.
It's like Lost.
Yeah, and so like they have to get to know each other and like learn about each other and appreciate each other.
Yes.
And then appreciate these funny little aliens that turned out to be little helper aliens.
Yes. Though I do love the fact that the robot saucer aliens totally had babies.
Yes.
That was totally awesome. And they kept on eating all this metal so that they could create the babies. I thought that was really cool. And this is a movie I remember as a little kid, but I'd only seen it once or twice. But I gotta say, the very beginning was really depressing. I mean, there was one of those movies that, like, the first 30 minutes, like, make you want to cry.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks. Like, it sucks to be, like, old. It sucks to be, like, you know, like, under the thumb of the man. I mean, that's essentially what
stupid
like
man
is like. The man is out to get them. The man is trying to take away their restaurant, take away their home, and like, just, you know, who cares what happens to you, because the man needs to build skyscrapers. It was messed up. They did learn some very good things from the humans, like how to flip burgers and how to make burgers in their restaurant. And also there was a little bit of a you know, Jessica Tandy was crazy.
Yeah,
because there was a whole like kind of subplot of what was going on with their son, and That was a big reveal at the end. I won't give that away. but you know, really, I think that these aliens, Battery Sound included, in my opinion, is where they got the idea for the Zony and the Ratchet and Clank. Which one was it? Crack in Time, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because maybe the Zony are just these cute little mechanical aliens that fix
things.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So there you go. But yeah, Battery Sound included is fun. You know, it still holds up, I think. And I think a large part of that is it has a really good cast and a really solid story.
And a villain.
Big
villain that's like a big land developer guy that's like, you know, you can't fight the land developer.
Exactly.
But you can with your little alien buddies.
Exactly. Yeah, it's fun. Oh, yeah. And the other best part is I think one of the extras at the very end was Luis Guzman.
Yeah. He was definitely in the crowd there.
Yeah, he's just in the crowd there. So it's a good time.
Okay, well, let's move on to Cocoon, because Battery's not included rules, and if you haven't seen it in a long time, you should see it, because it's fun.
Cocoon was good. You know, I'm glad we watched this again, because all I remembered about Cocoon was old people in a pool and a lot of light.
That was a big part of it.
Yeah, and the aliens.
There's a whole lot. That was actually a very big part of it.
But pretty much Cocoon was all about these aliens that show up to go and get their friends that they had to leave behind 10,000 years ago.
Yes.
And these
old people that, like, you know, they like to go swimming in the neighbor's pool. And then they find out this pool, it's like, oh my God, it's making us feel young again.
Yes. It's basically the fountain of youth is where they're keeping these eggs. And essentially, you know, really Cocoon is about aliens making old people want a bone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much what the movie's about. You know, it's a bunch of old people, a bunch of old guys, you know, feeling very randy after taking a dip in the pool. And also, Brian Dennehy plays a totally awesome alien. And
it's got the Goot.
Steve Guttenberg. And I have to say, I feel a little bad for Steve Guttenberg, because Steve Guttenberg was the man in the 80s. I mean, you know, between Police Academy and, you know, Three Men, a Little Baby, and Cocoon. I mean, this guy was like, he was just rolling like awesome in the 80s, and the 90s came around and it just sucked.
You know what? The Goot's time is going to be upon us again.
You think the Goot is going to come back?
I think it's time for the Goot to have a comeback.
You think so?
I think it's like the era of the Goot.
It's,
you know,
the age of the Goot?
Yeah, the age of the Goot. Like it's time for a Gooten comeback.
Like a Gooten comeback. It's like the Goot, it's like the Goot will rise again or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, I hope so, because the Guttenberg is awesome. I think the last time we saw him was like Veronica Mars, wasn't it?
Pretty much.
And didn't he play like a molester mayor or something?
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, but you know what? I think the Guttenberg will rise soon.
Yeah, I mean,
like the phoenix from the ashes, the Goot will rise.
It's his time. It's his time for a comeback.
Do you ever see that movie did in the 90s called like was it My Secret Identity or whatever? The one when he played.
No, that was a TV show.
No. The one when he had, like, cancer and he tried to fall in love with Jamie Gertz.
Don't Tell Her It's Me?
Yeah, that one, yeah.
I love that one. Yeah. He was a cartoonist.
Yeah, he's a cartoonist. And he's bald because he had cancer, and so, like, he...
And he was fat.
So he was, like, he was
bald
fat.
And fat
because
he had cancer, yeah.
So he has, like, a makeover, and he, like, gets thin and gets cool, and he gets, like, a... He's, like,
long,
a wig
hair,
on,
long and, hair, and, like, yeah, and he rides a motorcycle. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good times. Everyone's like, who cares? Yeah. We care, because the Goot is awesome. So, all hail the Guttenberg.
All hail the Goot.
Yes. But anyway, you know, Cocoon is actually really funny. And it's also really funny because it's a bunch of, like, horny old guys that say a lot of sex talk, which is really funny.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's kind
of
crazy.
You don't expect to hear these things coming out of old people's mouths.
No, and I think that's kind of why they make... You know, they don't make movies like this anymore for old people. You know, they have made, like, the old action star thing that's happened lately, but they really don't make movies like this anymore, do they?
No, they really don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is an old people action movie.
Yeah, it really is.
It was great because, like, I mean, well, actually, lately it's been, like, the age of, like, old people kicking butt.
Yes.
You know, but yeah, I mean, like, this is, like, an old people comedy.
Yeah.
And they had people playing a lot older than they actually were at the time, which was great, because then you have like them all like running around and jumping around and stuff.
I was just imagining our youth obsessed society, like them remaking Cocoon and all the people at the home being middle aged.
Yeah,
you know, being like, oh, I don't know how much longer I can make it.
I'm already 35.
I'm 35. Oh, exactly. It's like people are like, this is great, man. This will speak to people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so funny. And like honestly, it's actually a pretty decent movie. I really enjoyed the alien effects. I thought it was really fun. I like the whole. I totally remember the girl taking her skin off and being the alien, and then like looking through, like, you know,
they actually do some really neat effects for the time.
Yeah, and it was Ron Howard. I mean, it was a great movie, and in a lot of ways, I was really happy to watch this again because I had forgotten pretty much everything about it, and I really like how childish the old people are too.
Yeah,
that's the funniest part too. Is it really showcases that, you know, I think that, you know, children and old people have a lot in common. You know, you do get a little more childish as you get, because the thing is, when you're a kid, you don't care because you have all the time in the world. When you're an adult, you don't care because, I mean, when an old person, you don't care because you don't really have that much time left.
Yeah.
And so you're just happy to do whatever. And, but really, I think old dude breakdancing at the club might be the greatest thing of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, really, just fantastic.
Really good.
Yes.
Really awesome. But yeah, let's, why don't we take another quick break and we come back, unless you have more to say about
it. I just have one more thing to say.
Yes.
There is one thing that Cocoon can offer you that pretty much no other movie can.
What's that?
Old guys diving montage.
Ooh, that's good.
Old guys diving off a
not as good as
board.
Wheelchair kid going off a cliff.
No. It's close second.
Yeah.
I'd say yes, definitely.
Good call.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the Wonder Woman news. We're going to talk about I Am Number 4.
Yes.
We've got some other news and other fun stuff, so we'll be back with you in just a moment.